You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
All right, everyone, that song was Entertainment by Anthony Tonin. And that is off his most recent release, Leave Love Out of This. And I currently have him sitting across from me. How are you, Anthony?
Kia ora, Mario. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm all good. We are here to talk about lots of different things. I think to start off, we can talk about you are about to play a show tonight, opening for Dave Dobbin.
Yeah. A bit of a surprise. I only found out about it a few weeks ago. But I was in the back of my mind, I was sort of longing to get back to Dunedin. I live in Whanganui these days. But it's a really special tour to be part of. It's a mostly regional tour, yeah. So we've done Wellington, Napier and Palmy so far. And we're doing Dunedin tonight at the Town Hall, and then we're playing the Christchurch Town Hall on Sunday. It's been just a real thrill, you know, like to grow up with that music. But then, you know, over time, when I was down in Dunedin, you know, and I was into obscure things and weird things, and liked to keep it weird. And I guess, you know, like Dave Dobbin was very much like popular music, but I mean, as you keep doing this, you just want to write good songs, and it doesn't matter what ornamentation you put on that. And over the years, I've just gotten to know Sir Dave's songs, and they're just amazing. Like a song like, I remember the first time I really got into Dave Dobbin's songwriting was when I had a good listen to the original Diddy Smash song Wailing. You realize that it's got three different big hooks, and it's a very strange song. Like the guitaring is unexpected. It's kind of it's very unusual and anarchic for something that could potentially be played on the radio. But this show is just something else, because I mean, he's been writing songs for 40 years. It's crazy how many of them you know. But then the ones that you don't know, that he's kind of picked out of those 40 years that he's really proud of, it's just amazing to see such a master songwriter like that get the time and space. And he was playing Rhythm and Alps and Rhythm and Vines at New Year's, but in this environment in a theatre, he gets to select the songs and do a good long show.
Totally.
So it's a thrill for me to just get to warm up the stage for him and his 7-piece band, and it's nice to get to say hello to people in places like Altiporti.
Yeah, I find it really, especially with artists like Dave Dobbin, who have had such a long and eclectic career of just everything. It's you can really, like you were saying, you just can find so many songs that you knew about or you didn't even know about that are just incredible. It must be, pretty full circle to then open for someone like Dave Dobbin. For your set though, is it just going to be you on stage? What can people expect who are going tonight?
Yeah, well, my music changes a lot. You know, when I lived here in Dunedin, I was I pretty much was a technophobe. And I, you know, I had a guitar and I liked a Fender amp and the reverb that was on the Fender amp, and that was it, nothing else. when I moved away, I started trying to make things sound stranger and weirder, and so I got a chorus pedal, I got a nice delay, and started getting more and more into tech. And then when I was living in Auckland, there was this really cool independent place that started up called the Audio Foundation, and they had a technology library and a place where you could build your own pedals and stuff.
Cool.
And through that was just a first little bridge to not being scared of technology. But from there, I ended up getting into this instrument, the Synstrom Deluge, which is designed in Wellington. My last album, which the song we heard before was from, uses a lot more drum machines and that kind of stuff. but still pretty hybrid with the band, still guitars. Yeah. My new record, though, we've just about finished it, and I just took a kind of experimental show on tour just to do two arts festivals. I did the Nelson Arts Festival and the New Plymouth Arts Festival. But we've got this whole kind of weird show themed around the cinema.
Yeah.
But the music from the new album has become, has ended up harking back to like my last year of high school, which was kind of like 2004. So it was the age of like the DJ led pop hit. So like Moby or Sophia Bexter, or like all the great songs that were produced by Timbaland, like Nelly Furtado and stuff. So I've ended up like going, and I always change, and I actually wrote a song once about how every 7 years, you know, when you've got a whole new set of cells, you end up doing something that you would have hated 7 years ago. So my 2008 self hanging around Radio 1 would have hated the music I'm making now, but my 18-year-old self would have loved it, because so what I'm doing now is I've got two synthstorm deluges. I've temporarily...
So what is a synth... I don't even know what
so
a synthstorm...
It's a mixture of a drum machine and a synthesizer and a sampler all in one. But it's not a... it kind of is a computer if you want to go into how it actually works, but it's just a series of lit up cool buttons.
Yeah.
But it's completely standalone. You don't need a computer on it. So the new record I'm making, I use two synthstrom deluges, and I play them almost like they are two CDJs. So I have a kind of DJing thing with it. And there is analog stuff in there. So we recorded. I still have a great band. And you know, Stu Howard, my drummer, started with me in Dunedin, was in some really cool bands here, like the Tweaks. And he's still in the band, and we did a bunch of recording with the band. But then what I did is cut it all up and put it into the deluges.
Right.
And eventually we'll go and get to do some band shows again.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the way that I'm touring solo, I'm sort of this hybrid, half folk singer, half DJ. And yeah, it's this strange to even me mixture of dance music and songs about very strange things like project management and executive assistance and things like that.
Lovely.
So
lovely.
It's a nice chance, like, to get a show like this, because we've just made this record. It's a bit of an early chance for me to show this music to people, because otherwise I wouldn't have a chance until I started releasing some music next year. But I'll be playing mostly new songs tonight at the Town Hall.
Awesome. I would like to ask about your time in Dunedin previously. How have you found coming back now today and getting to play in the city that you once called home?
It's amazing. I mean, I love Dunedin. And I mean, I live in a place that kind of has some resonances. I live in Whanganui now, which is another city like Dunedin that was growing really fast until the 1920s and then stopped, which meant that it preserved this really great urban form, cool buildings, but also, most importantly to me, because I love public transport and I love good urban spaces, both Dunedin and Whanganui are very walkable.
Yeah,
so
very
I just walked here. We're staying, I've never gotten to stay there before, but we're staying at the Distinction Hotel, which is the old chief post office. And I took a wee walk with my dad and my little brother, and we walked from there to here. We obviously Radio 1's down by the university and the museum. And it's just cool, like, because in the 90s, my dad was a tradie, he's a glazier, and he had a little office on Castle Street.
On the Castle Street.
Not
just the normal Castle Street.
The Castle Street. He had a little garage. Someone's garage, and that was his office. And he would take me there because I'd be sitting in the van with him. And his job would be to, you know, fix all the windows that got broken the weekend before.
Yeah.
But I remember that when the government sold the chief post office and it went to property developers, and someone called up my dad and said, look, you can have all the windows from the chief post office if you just take them out today. So no, I went in with Dad and
got all the windows.
He got all the windows, and then of course that building just and that whole area of the Exchange, which should be, which is almost like New York style. It's like skyscrapers almost. That area was just derelict my entire childhood and right until I was a teenager. So to answer your question about Dunedin now, like I mean, I haven't spent enough time here. I've only been here for the night so far, but it's really cool to see that the Exchange is kind of like coming up a little bit. Like it's obviously what's happened to that kind of warehouse area has been quite cool in the last 10 years, but it's nice to see the hotels on the Exchange kind of doing well. I'm happy to see Discden still there, though I was sad to see that there's a clearance sale.
They've kind of been closing for like the last 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I remember when I first came and visited here, Discden was one of the first places I ever went to, and I bought a poster. I bought the Who poster from there. And yeah, since then, like it was closing back then in 2022, still closing now. It's, we're losing a couple good ones. We're losing This and That. Was This and That always around?
I can't remember that.
No, it's next to the New World. But no, Discden hopefully is still kicking. I'm assuming if you've seen it and it looks to be open.
It's still there.
Exactly. It's still there. It's still
there. It's amazing. It's always been amazing how much, I mean, for years, people from Dunedin always joked about how it never changed.
Yeah.
It really does feel in the last 10 years it does change. Mostly for the better.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of what's been done here with the bus system, because that's kind of one of my hobbies now. Is I work a little bit in public transport, and just the fact that you can get on the number 8 every 15 minutes all day, and you can get a bus late at night here, I think that's such a cool thing. I think the new George Street layout's really cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say that as well. I think the walkability has been really great from that George Street renovation.
Cool.
It's like, I mean, it's obviously just quite it's a fun walk now to walk down that whole street. I barely even saw it when it was a road, but I can imagine it was a lot more, just a lot more boring.
Yeah.
A lot more dull, I can imagine. But, investments are good. It's good that Dunedin can get some.
Because
I guess that's like, it's the bottom of the South, right?
For such a long time, there just wasn't, for my childhood, it just didn't feel like there was a lot of, a lot of money going into things.
Yeah, totally.
And there wasn't a lot of improvements. I think when I left in 2010, part of it was frustration. Like, part of it was just, I was living in the Leith Valley, and I just, it just took so long to wait for the bus. And, you know, like moving to Auckland at that time, Auckland knew it was uncool, but it was really trying to be better, and it wanted people, and it was like, come to Auckland, like we'll be better, promise.
And then your bus was 30 minutes late?
No, actually, at that time, 2010 to 2017, Auckland got way better at public transport. Yeah. And now, like, there are a lot of places in Auckland where you can catch a bus every 7 minutes.
Yeah, to be fair, I relied entirely on the public transport to get to school when I was living in Auckland. I would catch the bus, the 105, and then I'd catch the train system is really cool in Auckland. I think that's the best part about it.
So you're a city kid then? West Lynn or something?
I'm in Grey Lynn.
Grey Lynn. Grey Lynn. Wow. Yeah, 105.
So, 105, Grey Lynn. Coffee drinkers. Coffee drinkers and fruit flies.
So my first place I went after Dunedin was Grey Lynn. And at that time you could still afford to get a share house, be a flatmate.
Grey Lynn was pretty,
That's why, I mean, you could play, if you were looking for things to play, you could play Marion Bates Realty, because that that's me fresh out of Dunedin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slightly juvenile of me. I don't stand by all of the lyrics, but, found a wonderful flat in Grey Lynn and, you know, started doing things like working in the bars and, like, playing on K Road and stuff. And then I got kicked out of my flat because, you know, gentrification.
Yeah, that's the one, like, growing up in Grey Lynn, the craziest part of it has just actually so visibly seen that happen.
Like
from being a kid when I was younger to now, it's just a completely different place. It's a shame, because there was a real charm to Grey Lynn before, which I think has kind of been lost in a way, but
it held on to it a really long time.
It really did, and It's just kind of, yeah. I get it. I get why, like, there is an anti-Auckland attitude down here, because it's like, coming from Auckland, like, it's where everything goes to, and then it just happens.
Yeah, you see investment and stuff, but, you know, I think we should have an alliance of people that like their urban core, that like their city, that like the suburbs around the city.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
I think, you know, there should be an alliance between your Mornington and your Northeast Valley, but also your Newtown in Wellington, your Avondale in Auckland, because
totally.
Those are all really similar places. They're people who live in the old working class core of their city. And those are cool places where, you know, if you get lots of interesting people living in those places, you can build cool communities. You can have interesting interactions between artistic people, but people who work and do things and want to go to shows and all of that kind of stuff. And I think for me, what I've realized is, you know, I'm always seeking out Mornington, you know, places like Mornington where you're close enough to be part of your city.
Yeah.
And you can have that in Whanganui, you can have that in Invercargill, you know. The one thing I just struggle with, I get a bit, is this idea that, you know, we go and live further and further out and we need a big motorway to get there.
Yeah, totally, totally. And so to tie in this back into your music, so yeah, Marion Bates Realty, you wrote that coming up to Auckland, and what is kind of like the song about, I guess, if we're about to listen to it?
That one will be obvious when you hear it.
Right, okay.
That's about getting kicked out of a flat.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, it's interesting. That's very much a sound of a young know-it-all Dunedin man, you know, landing in Auckland.
Yeah.
And thinking that I was thinking that I was the underdog. You know,
yeah.
Looking back now, you know, I was an all right looking Pākehā man. Hanging out at art gallery openings on K Road every Friday night, I was going to be fine.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
you know, and I guess the new album that I'm making, it goes into that a little bit. Like I got a little bit of the music is kind of reflecting on that time and what I, you know, going to Auckland did. You know, when I went to Auckland from here, I thought I was going to be there for 9 months and I was just going to save enough money and I was going to live all over the world.
Yeah.
As it turned out, I lived in Auckland for 7 or 8 years, and I did manage to start doing some touring overseas. Mm. But man, working hospitality, you just cannot save a lot of money.
No.
And so eventually, you know, I met my wife Carlia, and eventually we were kind of inspired by some of the touring we'd done, and we'd seen some people in the US that lived in really cool, creative, smaller cities.
Yeah.
And we saw that the big cities were becoming less and less affordable in America, and that was probably coming for New Zealand as well. And so we decided to go to Whanganui, and like Whanganui has just been life-changing for me. It's a town very much like Dunedin, but...
Because it's around the same population, right? It's basically...
Oh, it's smaller.
It's smaller, like, I think... I was hanging out with someone from Whanganui the other day, and we were talking about... And they were exactly saying that, like, yeah, Whanganui and, like, here in Otipoti, like, it's quite a similar culture, and there's a lot of similarities here, except Whanganui is just kind of Dunedin without the students, in a way.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. I mean, it's only 50,000 people, but it's got the old buildings, it's got some cool urban decay. My dad said that when he moved here in 86, he liked Dunedin because he'd come from Tauranga, and in Tauranga, you had to wear your town shoes if you went to the city, and you had to wear a shirt.
Yeah.
Whereas in Dunedin in 86, you can imagine there'd be punks walking around, there'd be people walking around in their dressing gowns and stuff. And he said there's not many towns in New Zealand where you're allowed to wear whatever you want down the main street. And Dunedin's one of them, and Whanganui is another. But the cool thing about Whanganui is it's the cheapest urban centre in New Zealand of a certain size. Invercargill was cheaper until recently, but now it's got a dairy boom again.
Yeah.
So, but what I find there, I started going there because there was a really cool alternative music venue called Space Monster, And we just kind of slowly met friends and sort of fell in love with the place. And now there's a lot of people our age that have moved there because it's still one of these places, and touch wood that we can kind of keep it that way, where you can maybe work 3 days a week, maybe four.
Yeah.
And then be creative the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And not have to be going into, like, you know, 40-hour a week work all the time just to get by.
Do you find, like, these spaces and environments to be quite... you're quite conscious of in your songwriting, it seems?
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, a lot of my writing is about life in urban areas and just, you know, how we make good cities and how we get things done. I mean, more and more my songs have become about things like navigating bureaucracy and...
Yeah.
And project management. Yep. Because I'm just genuinely interested, like... I guess when I was young and here in Dunedin, I thought, cool, pretty soon it'll be our generation's turn to, like, run everything. And, like, you know, I'm a millennial. We're still not running everything. And even if we're running everything, even those of us that are running everything, we haven't really figured out how to do a lot.
No.
So it's like, man, it just takes a long time to get stuff done.
It really does. It really, really does. No, yeah. Totally. Well, anyways... So you've got Dave Dobbin tonight. We've been talking for a while.
Yep. So I'm on at 7:30.
Yeah, you're on it at 7:30. I'm pretty bad for getting into the nitty gritty of urban spaces.
Love it.
Yeah. So 7:30 on tonight. You've got this album coming out next year, and you've been moving around the urban spaces in the world. Anything last you'd like to add in there?
Oh, no. Well, look, it's just great to be back here at Radio 1. Yeah.
Because you also, you used to have a show on radio, which I don't think we've talked about, but maybe.
Yeah, but briefly, I was the 10:15 slot.
Nice.
When Leslie Paris was the station manager. But there's John was here. John Bacos was here back then. So, yeah, it's a special place, and I wrote for Critic, and so I'm just so stoked to see that everything's looking good and it's strong, and so thanks for you guys to keeping it in such good shape, and thanks to the people listening for listening.
No worries. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. We are now going to listen to Marion Bates' Realty, and I'm curious about those lyrics. I'm curious for the other one afterwards, which I'll also be playing as Barry Smith of Hamilton. And then, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Anthony. I hope that your Dave Dobbin Tonight show goes incredibly, and the rest of the tour does as well. So thank you for coming on.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.